Hot round! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the
ball? I'll get you the ball. I
hope he didn't kill somebody.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Yeah! Between living and dying.
Yeah! I got a whole lot of money. Money. Y'all it for me. Bottle keep popping that water, man.
Welcome in to 11 Personnel. Nick Roush and Adam Luckett here with another off-season Kentucky football conversation. We've got SP Plus rankings released today. There's a new offensive line coach in town and a Super Bowl coming up. A lot to discuss. Hell, Brian Harsin might be fired by the time this podcast is released. Nobody knows what's happening down there on the plains. We're going to discuss it all. But first, we're going to talk to our pal, Luke Fortner. I believe he's our first recurring guest, Adam Luckett, if I'm not mistaken. We had him on the show last year, didn't we?
I can't remember.
How many times we had
SC Mike on?
Oh, okay, that's true. I think we've had SEC. Wait, yeah, either way.
And Freddie on signing day, obviously.
So we're bringing folks back. He's going to talk to us about everything that happened at the Senior Bowl. And all of it's brought to you by our good friends at Prize Picks, which, folks, if you haven't downloaded Prize Picks before, do it this weekend. This weekend is all about Super Bowl prop bets. I mean, and that's what Prize Picks is for. Mm-hmm. They've got you covered in an assortment of ways, and they've got you covered through the Super Bowl Sunday and beyond, whether it's college basketball or they've also got Luckett. They've updated the way that you play golf now. So just that's something to keep an eye on as things start picking up.
We are approaching golf betting season, Waste Management Phoenix Open this weekend. Fun little tournament out there. If you're looking for something, a little action before the action.
Do we got a pick?
Get in on that this weekend.
Have you crunched the numbers yet?
I didn't dive into it. I set my fantasy lineup today. I had Hideki was probably my big pick. I like him.
Okay.
He's been playing well. So top 10 Hideki. Let's roll with that.
Luckett likes odds on that. Hideki Waste Management Open this week. It's going to be exciting, and it's much more exciting if you play with Prize Picks. Use the promo code PERSONNEL when you make your first deposit. They'll match it up to 100 smackaroos. So download the app at the App Store, wherever you get it, or go online to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code PERSONNEL to match up to $100 on your first deposit. Now, let's get to Luke Fortner. Now happy to be joined on 11 Personnel by Kentucky offensive lineman Luke Fortner, former Kentucky offensive lineman Luke Fortner, after insert the Titanic gift. It's been 84 years, but Luke has finally wrapped up his time in Lexington. Probably the most wins ever by a Kentucky football player. I think that might be safe to say. Not as many games as Rigg, though. Rigg got you beat out.
No.
But just finished up a big week at the Senior Bowl. How was the eats in Mobile? Was the crawfish really good? Did they feed you well?
I'm going to be honest, man. That was probably the most disappointing part of the whole trip. Yeah, I know. Starting early with some controversy. You know, it was good. The food's good. It was very tasty and plenty to eat. It was just not on par with how awesome the rest of the week was. How's that?
Okay, there you go. That's how you tee it up. So I'm curious. We've never done the Senior Bowl. I'm sure a lot of it was the game stuff, but what else comes along with it that kind of was there to help get you ready for this upcoming NFL draft?
Yeah, there was a ton there. You know, there was obviously practice all week and then a ton of interviews, lots of psychological testing, a ton of questionnaires about, you know, all kinds of different stuff that, that doesn't feel like matters.
was there one question in particular where you're like, this is the dumbest thing ever?
Not specifically, but it was just like a lot of like, okay, you know, either I very much agree with the statement or very much disagree with the statement. And the statement was like, I like to go out with friends. And it was like, just like stuff like that the whole time was what the questions were.
Yeah, those can be monotonous. But you did get to work with NFL coaches while you were there.
I'm curious. Yeah, I got to work with them. Yeah.
So did you
eat the line staff was did I eat any what?
Eat any kneecaps? I know Dan Campbell, he's gonna bite some kneecaps to try to win.
No, I personally did not, but I think there were a couple guys, you know, around who were no. But the Lions staff was super cool. Got to work with them and got to meet the Jets staff. You know, they do it where like a lot of the assistant coaches get elevated, right? So you know, the assistant line coach coaches up a bunch and the head of line coach was around and more of like observing and giving tips and that sort of thing. So got to be a part of a, you know, see what the NFL coaching staff looks like and how they run things. As well as, you know, they had a lot of like Senior Bowl alum were there as like group leaders and kind of helping you out. Like, hey, you got to be here this time, you know, wear this and all this kind of extra stuff that the details get locked in for you.
I'm before I kick it to Luckett, this is a very dumb question, but I've always wondered. I know the NFL football is different. Like it's Jamar Chase made headlines about the lines, but is it different for the center too?
Yeah, I mean, it is. Actually, it was like the Wednesday before I was going to leave and Drake was like, hey, like, have you snapped with an NFL ball? And I was like, oh, because I forgot it was different. Like, I guess just like you, it was like, I didn't even think about it. So I was like, no. And he's like, well, we should probably do that before you get out of here. So picked up the NFL ball and it wasn't that much different, but it's definitely a different grip for the center and a little fatter there.
Yeah, well, a little bit chubbier. Curious what kind of questions you got from his time down in Mobile.
Yeah, I'm just curious, Luke. Are you meeting with, when you're at the Senior Bowl, do you meet with personnel? Are you having meetings with random people? Or is it more just focus on football, you're working with the two staffs there, and then that all that kind of stuff will happen at the combine?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of both. It's definitely less meetings, right? Like it's more focused on the practice and working with the NFL staff and football. Mm-hmm. But there was quite a bit of time they set aside for interviews and, you know, everyone got to rotate with all the teams. And so everyone sat down in front of every single team for at least 15 minutes. And then on top of that, there's like scheduled time where they can just grab you and maybe they want to talk to you some more or maybe they want to talk to someone else some more. So there was a little bit of both for that.
Okay. Now, when you're going through the practices and stuff, is it help a lot to have a guy like Darian there with you? You know, that you all obviously have a history together to kind of bounce stuff off. And then there's a lot of guys you blocked, I would guess, throughout your years at Kentucky. I know there are a lot of Georgia guys down there. Why not? Did that help at all with that? Or is it just, you know, football? Football is football at the end of the day.
Yeah, it definitely helped. I know with DK there, a big thing was like, you know, him and I would come to each other and be like, okay, so, you know, that play they were just talking about, that's like our old, you know, whatever play from mm-hmm. Liam's offense or even from way back and Coach Grant's offense. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's that play. Like, and then it clicks, right?
Right.
So just be able to talk through it. And like, you know, I know there was a time I asked him a question. I was like, you know, is that what they teach at Kentucky? And he's like, yeah, it's like the exact same, like just like that. So just to be able to like bounce it off each other and kind of make those connections of what we'd done in the past and what we were trying to do there was good. And then, yeah, playing against the guys I was there playing against, you know, I played against Neil Farrell from LSU and Devontae Wyatt from Georgia, you know, Damone Clark, Channing Tindall, all those guys. So it was just cool to meet them and put a face to the guys you've been blocking for, you know, 5 years now. They haven't been there that long, but I have. but just to be able to, you know, talk to them, you know, get a feel for what they're like in person. It was really cool.
I know the big talking point, we media members, you know, we like to latch on to stories. Like, we latch on to you being old. We also on to not quite as much as Max as like ball jokes or anything. It's close. But the big component too is the versatility, because in the NFL, you're not a center or guard. It's IOL, interior offensive lineman. You gave us some bullshit like, I'm just here because my teammates answer the last time we asked you in one of those media scrums. But like, does it actually help when you're in the NFL setting and they're trying to move around a lot, or was that just some kind of thing that we've perceived to be a huge benefit for your draft stock?
No, it's absolutely a huge benefit. You know, there were a lot of guys there who were guards, and they were, you know, telling them, you got to learn a snap, you got to go play center. And like a couple of them, they threw them at center, and you could tell they've just never done it before, right? Because it's hard. And so being able to just, you know, transition fluidly from guard to center is definitely something that's valuable. And like almost every guard there, and even some of the tackles, right, will end up knowing how to snap by the end of their NFL career. But to be able to walk in on day one and have, you know, freaking 5 years at guard and then a season starting at center, I mean, it'll be invaluable for sure. It's not just something you made up. No.
Okay, good.
How big was when you coming back as a, like when you make the decision to come back for that extra year, how big was being able to move to center? Was that a huge part of the reason why you came back? Because so you could add that kind of, you know, extra trait in your toolbox when it came time for the draft?
Yeah, that was a big part. And that was something, you know, Coach Stoops and I talked about, and, you know, it was something I came to him with, and, you know, he said he'd give me the opportunity. And I said, you know, if I'm awful at it, I'll just go on back to guard and, you know, we'll forget it ever happened. And thankfully it worked out the way we thought it would.
Is it something that people, like when you're talking with the teams, do they bring it up, or is it just kind of an unspoken, like, all right, we get it. This guy's played both.
No, they definitely bring it up, and they, you know, they love to ask which one I like better and which one I feel more comfortable at. And, you know, they asked the same question. They asked how it happened. You know, is it something I brought up or coach brought up? Or so, no, they're all over it too. You guys are basically scouts, Nick.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I needed to hear.
I do appreciate, Adam, I do appreciate your tweets. I find those bring value.
Oh, thank you.
Your tweets are, your odd Super Bowl betting takes are interesting, but they're not quite the same as Adam's.
Yeah, no, they're not. And I'm also one of those two that I'm going to bet the Rams just to help my Bengals brethren. You know, I'm looking out for those guys because I'm always wrong. I'm wrong about a lot of things. When you watch the game this Sunday, are you going to be like, oh, we run that play? How much similarity is there between the Kentucky offense and what we're going to see on Saturday or Sunday? Sorry, Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely similar. And there are, you know, everyone in general runs the same things, right? Like at that level, most people run the same plays we run. But what will be interesting is being able to put a name to those plays, you know, especially knowing with the Rams and the Bengals both running, you know, specifically what Coach Cohen runs. You know, being able to be like, oh, they just ran, you know, whatever the name is, or I've seen Darian do that, or, you know, I've seen Kenneth do that. That'll be really cool. And just to have both of them going head to head, you know, and UK already put out the nice tweet, yeah, the PR tweet, right? And it's true. It really is true. And I can't imagine being in, you know, like, for example, Drake Jackson's position and going to that Senior Bowl and not having what we had last year in terms of offense. Cause like the stuff they were talking about down there is all stuff I learned this past year. You know what I mean? And it's something I'm really thankful for that I had the opportunity to work with Coach Cohen before I kind of embarked on this. Cause otherwise I'd be lost.
You mentioned how it is an NFL offense. Take us back to last spring, early fall camp. What was the learning curve like for that? Was it more difficult than recent years, or did things start clicking, or did it take a lot of work to kind of get to where y'all were kind of, you know, in November where you're scoring 30, 40 points a game?
Yeah. I mean, I have to think back for, you know, who knows how many years to remember learning the offense the first time. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was the fact that everyone was on day one, you know, like, it wasn't like the older guys could come in and be like, oh, okay, like, you know, here's the secret for this play, or here's how I remember how to do this. It was like the older guys were sitting right next to the younger guys, like trying to figure it out. And then the amount of different nuances and wrinkles that it brought was definitely part of the curve. And, you know, it wasn't just something we had a blanket call for, or, you know, we would get more specific on, okay, if he's here, it's different. If he's there, it's different, that sort of thing.
Well, speaking of that part, how much of the offense still do you foresee down the road having some untapped potential? Like, man, we did this, but if we had another year, then we could really get into stuff.
Oh, it's not even, I mean, it's not even funny. Like the whole problem of last spring was we were literally just trying to figure out what the names of things were like, right? Like we were trying to remember, like, okay, when they call this name, like I have to step left, right? Like, mm-hmm. Now that that's instilled in everyone and the older guys, right now you can spend all of spring ball working on those nuances, those wrinkles, you know, if there's a safety in the box, do we target him? Do we not? All those things are now day one stuff, right? As opposed to, you know, if we get to that, it's great, but let's just worry about, are we going the right way? So it's going to be fun to see how well they, you know, continue to learn this offense. And when that spring game comes around, I have a feeling it's going to look a lot different than it did last year. Or I guess it didn't happen last year, but
yeah, that made us very happy.
didn't have anything to write about. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to watch some
football. Yeah, some content thieves over there. Nothing here for about 3 weeks.
But and look at the way he's describing it too, it makes you really appreciate how in the hell these teams can have such crazy coordinator turnover. Like
the verbiage or whatever, how you ever pronounce that is huge, right, Luke? I mean, what it just means something totally different, and you just have to, it's like learning a new language almost. And I assume y'all went through that a little bit at the Senior Bowl, and it's going to be, you know, whatever organization you step into, it's probably going to be something different you have to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know for me, it was big having Drake Jackson around and Logan Stenberg around, because they both were at the Lions. And so I knew I was going to have the Lions coaches. And so they gave me a crash course of like, okay, this is what they call this, right? Like when they're saying this, they're referring to, you know, XYZ. Mm-hmm. So having that was big. And a lot of teams, it's similar, right? But not the same. And then some teams, it's completely different. So you're absolutely right. It can change depending on where you go, and, you know, one thing somewhere means something totally different some other place. So it's just something you have to go in and relate it in your head to, okay, this is what they're talking about when they say, you know, whatever word. So just doing that for a whole offensive playbook is going to be super interesting when that time comes.
Well, we're not going to leak this to your agents that you just had a cheat code for the entire Senior Bowl. Like, you knew everything before you showed up, thanks to Stenberg, which he was down on the sideline at the Governor's Cup. How's his rehab doing? Is he I don't want you to force you to speak for him. Is things looking up as far as Stenberg goes?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was ecstatic. He just got to go in and do arms every single day. Didn't have to run, didn't have to do anything like that. So he was excited. He was looking forward to his rehab, and I think he's doing fine. Yeah.
It was a bad year for injuries last year for those guys.
No doubt.
To him and Landon and everybody. But now you're combine bound, correct? So
correct.
What's that prep like? I know Damian Collins is eating 5,000 calories a day to try to gain weight. You strike me as the type of dude that when football is over with, you're going to look like a shell of yourself. It's like a Zach West. Like, I don't even know who that guy is. He just is like half of him. So do you have to like force feed yourself to be at NFL offensive lineman weight? Do you have to lift five times a day? What's that prep process like?
Yeah, it's just like you said. For me, I just have to force feed myself. Otherwise, I'll be 280 by the end of the week. So hopefully that sticks around for the rest of my life.
But enjoy it. Yeah. Enjoy it.
But for now, it's like trying to make sure, you know, I've got a meal all hours of the day, because if I don't, I'll be in trouble. Like I weighed in at 302 in the Senior Bowl, and you know, I would have liked to have been between 305 and 310, that area, but I was on a plane for 3 hours and, you know, didn't have anything to eat. And next thing you know, I'm, you know, like dropping close to 300. So yeah, for me, it's shoving food down my face and working out with Coach Ed and Coach Hill at football, and, you know, getting some drill work in, working with Drake again, working with Logan, that kind of thing. So yeah.
Do you have to, is there like a go-to fat meal that like you're like, okay, this will definitely do the trick if I get these extra large nachos from Cookout or whatever the hell it may be?
Four PB&Js, 2 a.m. wake up call.
For me, honestly, it's just been like Chipotle, two burritos, you know, double chicken, good to go. Good to go.
See, and I'm glad you put it that way, because it's hard for some people in their brain. Like, if I tried to eat a burrito, like just one burrito from one of those places, like I'm not eating for the rest of the day. Double the meat, double burritos. That's awesome.
Yeah, I struggle to put it down, but sometimes, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
You know what?
Cost to be the boss.
Yeah, right. Your metabolism, it's you're gonna hit 30 here soon, and all of a sudden it's really gonna stick to you. So watch out.
I know, man. I'm not looking forward to it, but that's a problem for later.
I have one more random question before we can get back to serious football conversations. I know you're from Northwest Ohio, which is kind of a ballpark of where my wife's family's from. Have you ever visited that Toledo casino on like the middle of a Monday afternoon?
I've actually never been there. So it opened, it opened like maybe when I came to Kentucky. I don't think it's been there for very long. Or maybe like middle of high school, but no, I've never been. I know friends who visit Monday afternoon. Yeah. All the time. Correct. Yes. Why do you ask?
I just, you know, I know there's a lot of people that frequent there. I thought I might stop in one time and be like, oh, hey, it's Luke playing the slots over there. You know, that Game of Thrones slot, it isn't going to feed itself.
I don't think I've ever been there.
Nah. Well, and I'm sure you've been to Dietz's Chocolate though in Findlay, right?
I've never heard of that, honestly.
Oh goodness, you're missing out. You're missing out in beautiful Findlay, not too far away. Drew Franklin will be disappointed. That'll help put on your weight. So you go home, you get some Dietz's, boom, bada bing, bada boom, you're ready to roll.
Thanks, Trainer Nick. Yeah.
So here's the question that I know I've got to do my journalistic duty, and I've got to, I feel like I'm obligated to ask this question. Why is Eric Wolford an asshole, and do you hate him like everybody else does?
For the record, no, I don't hate him. I don't think he's an asshole.
There we go. Yes. Yes. And
yeah, there's your journalistic duty.
That was journalism. And to be fair, Wolf was always nice to us, good to us. And I think the thing was, Luke, is just people were a little mad that they just didn't get a phone call for, you know, just things go. But like, people trade jobs all the time. You were lucky to have two position coaches in 6 years. But how many different receivers coaches came and went during your time?
Wow.
Yeah, my point exactly. So, like, this stuff happens.
Who was before LT?
Tommy Maynard.
Oh, wow. Okay, so Tommy Maynard. So I came in I think he left in the spring. I think I came in the spring he left. And then it was LT. And then it was, I think, Smith.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it was
Woodward.
Oh, yeah. Well,
oh yeah, I forgot about Bonite. Yeah.
And then Woodward. Right. Exactly. But no, you know, there was definitely some miscommunication. I don't know the full story behind that. But I do know, you know, he loves his guys and his players, and he always will. And I'm sure whatever the circumstances were, you know, I'm sure it's fine.
Let's rephrase the question, Nick.
Okay. 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 So Zach, I didn't ask it. That wasn't good journalism on my part.
Zach Yenzer's walking in here. Is a reported hire, Luke. If he calls you out of the blue and asks for some advice, or what does it take to succeed here as an offensive line coach, what would you tell him?
Yeah, I think number one, it takes hard work. I don't think you can ask your guys to work hard if you're not working hard. Number two, I think it takes passion, which kind of ties in with the hard work. But I think you have to love what you do and love coming to work every day and loving coaching the guys you coach. And number three, I think it takes just grit, just good old fashioned, you know, stuff gets tough. You got to keep going. And, you know, obviously on top of that, you have to know offensive line play. Right.
But right.
I feel like that's a given for most candidates for the job. I just think you have to love your guys, love your players. And I think you're going to be successful in this offense, especially.
Can you tell us about some of the guys that we haven't really seen? I know like DeAndre Buford, Wallabaugh, we saw Flax a little bit. I know those are more tackles. That's kind of because we just assumed that Eli Cox and Quentin Wilson are going to be taking your spot. But like, can you just tell us what we can expect to see from them when they hit the field this spring?
Yeah, I think, you know, DeAndre Buford has really matured both physically and mentally. He's a guy who, you know, seeing pictures of him his freshman year, I realize how big he's actually gotten and how strong he's actually gotten. And I think physically he's 100% ready to take the job. You know, I think he just has to prove to the coaches that he's ready mentally. And I think he will. It's going to be a big spring for him. And I think he's going to succeed at a really high level. Flax is a guy who, you know, was ready to take the spot last year. And, you know, we had Dare come in, and Dare was an incredible athlete. But I think Flax has been right there waiting in the wings, ready to go. Wallabaugh, he's young, you know, he's going to have a good spring. I think he just needs to continue improving like he is. A couple guys I'm really excited for. John Young has really made strides this past year. And then Jagger Burton is unreal athletic. So I think they're going to be good, no doubt about it. You know, whether it's now or in a few years from now or whatever it may be, they're going to be ready to go.
Do you – okay, and then I'm going to ask – I guess this is technical. But it looks like Eli's on a kick down from guard to center. I don't know if Jagger is going to do a little bit of that too. But what is it about – like, I'm just curious, like, the technical aspect. Like, what is – what makes that such a natural fit for a guy to go from guard to center?
Yeah. So for myself, it was – for me specifically, I felt like it was the mental part of it, right? Like the – okay, make the calls. And I felt like more comfortable once I made the calls and I knew what I was doing. And for whatever reason, that let me excel at the position. For a guy like Eli, I think he's going to do really well at it, just because of, you know, he's not going to like me saying this, just his natural leverage. You know, he's as tall as I am, but I swear he's like, he feels 6 foot. I don't know. Just the way he plays, right, is just, he's so stocky. He's so, so strong and so explosive off the ball that being in that interior position, he's going to be able to move those big guys as well as climb the second level. So for me, watching Eli play, it's a matter of the leverage he plays with and the intelligence he has are going to combine to make him, you know, a really good center.
See, that's what we needed. Like, we needed technical answers, and we got him for Ford.
Now that your career is over, Luke, can you walk us through the ejection 2018? What happened? That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it was against Louisville, obviously, and it was PAT, and I didn't play much that year, right? It was 2018, was that what it was?
Right.
So I didn't start that year. I got some time, and it was towards the end of the game. We were up like 20 or something. It was a PAT, and, you know, we blocked, and the play was over, and the guy was just laying on me. You know, he just wouldn't get up. And I was just – was at the bottom of the pile, and everyone had gotten up except for him. And so I don't know why, but I just got up and swung on him in front of the ref, which was the big – I was, like, looking the ref in the eyes when I did it. and I just remember coming off the sideline, and, oh, Coach Stoops was not happy. Everyone else was like in shock. They were just like, wait, who? Like Luke? And Coach Stoops was just letting me have it. But it was a good time. I don't regret it. That's for sure.
Do you have, can we walk down memory lane when you think back, like when you're cutting up with the guys, just talking glory days now, cause you're, you know, that's what we do. Is there a few memories, a few games that stick out above the rest? Is you're one of the few that has not just the one Citrus Bowl win. You've got two under your belt now.
Yeah. Speaking of glory lane, memory lane, Slacks just added me to like the alumni list. So that hurt. That hurts. So they're going to ask me to pay for the new indoor, I think. So
you better get that Santa bonus real quick.
Yeah. For me, I think really, the one game that I'll probably remember would be the Missouri game in 2017 when I, you know, I got to go in because Logan got hurt, and those were my first live reps on offense. And, you know, it was like three plays in after I'd gone in, and Benny breaks one for 70 something and goes for a touchdown. I always remember that. I'll always remember the Belk Bowl, because if you would have told me we would have won that game on a pass, I would have told you you're crazy. And then really just this past season in general, just, you know, after deciding to come back and spend, you know, a sixth year here to be able to win 10 games and beat a good Iowa team in the Citrus Bowl, that's not something I'll forget very soon.
Man, I'm not going to lie, Luke, your Missouri game is my most forgettable Missouri game. That's like one, I don't know what it is about that game that just like goes in one ear, out the other. I remember vividly, of course, the walk-off win. There was another game where there was a petting zoo at the catwalk at Missouri. That was a weird one. But for whatever reason, it's because it was, you're right, it was a good game. I went down to the wire. But when we go through some of these old games, big time wins, I don't know what it is about that game, because I think they end up rattling off like six straight wins after that.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think in the walk-off win, that's a good one too, because Bunchy got hurt on that last drive and I got to go in and be in on that last drive and not give up a sack. It was really the highlight of that. And I got to go in on that one. So that was a cool game to be a part of as well.
Were you there when Lynn got, were you at the NASCAR racetrack whenever the initial scuffle happened with Lynn?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, can you take us through that? Because that happened, I think, as the UK UofL basketball game was happening. And I was like, all right, I go to all this stuff. Like, I'm watching this basketball game, damn it. I'm not going to NASCAR racetrack. So what happened when all that went down?
Yeah, so it was just like they had just been there. And so they were like leaving and they were like waiting to get on the bus. And they were just like hanging out by where we got off the bus. And so I don't know who said anything first. You know, if I had to put money on it, I might say Lynn said something first, knowing him. But something got said, and then the next thing you know, everyone's just converging on each other, and you know, and then from then on, it was like, okay, we're gonna win this game. You know, there was no question after that. It was kind of big for us. I don't know who started it, but whoever did was had Kentucky in their hearts for sure.
Well, okay, it's something about these bowl games. There's always something.
Yeah, it's just always, you know, everyone's just been sitting around for a month just waiting to
they know how something. To make it dramatic. No doubt about that.
Right. And it sells. Yeah, it does sell. That's for sure.
Okay. I we're going to get you out of here, but we got a few more questions for you. We have been to the combine more than you have been to the combine. I think that is a fact. So I think now is a good time that we should help prepare Luke for it. You know, he's done, he's given us plenty of content. I think now we return the favor by helping prepare him for the combine. So we're going to ask you a couple questions, and this is the kind of stuff that you're going to be sitting down in a meeting room with, and you've got to know the answer with just like that. Bam, bam, bam.
All right.
So if you're a paperclip stuck in a water bottle, how do you get out?
Where is the water bottle standing right side up?
Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't.
Is there a lid on the water bottle?
There is not.
You just get wait to get knocked over that. You just hope that the water bottle gets knocked over.
Wow. That's a very passive way. You fail that test. Next question.
What's the answer?
There's no correct answer, but you see, that's what you got to know, Luke, is you have to always come off as the aggressor. Okay. We don't want to take any, you know, you're an offensive lineman. We can't have some guy who's like, oh, I just want to wait to get pushed around. You've got to be the aggressor. Okay. Here's another good question. Your boys call you up on 11:30 on a Friday night. They say, hey, we've got a VIP room at the club. Come on out. What do you say?
11:30 Friday night. I don't know, dude. A few years ago, yes. These days, I'm in bed by 10. I'm gonna have to pass on that.
See,
did I fail too?
You did, because that people would think that, like, oh, that's the right answer. You want a guy who's not gonna get in trouble, but you actually want somebody, like I said, who's not afraid to back down from a challenge. They want to drink a lot of beers, and you're not there to help them. You don't have your teammates back. You're an offensive line. You got to act.
Hey, let me grab a piece of paper real quick.
Yeah, you got to act down as one.
Nick got this from the XFL interviews, I think.
I'm curious. So bad jokes aside, when a team quizzes you, we hear about these interviews. So let's say we are – we'll just do a team interview. It's Luke Fortner, Darian Kennard, Kentucky Wildcats going to be interviewed. What does an NFL scout ask you in these 15-minute meetings? How do those go down besides after the introductions and all the pleasantries?
Yeah, so it depends on the guy. Sometimes the scouts, like, sometimes that you can tell they're, like, pressing you and, like, trying to make you nervous and, like, really make you think. I got one for you, Nick.
Okay.
All right. Can you say your ABCs?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
Yes or no? Yeah. Yes. Can you count to 26?
Of course.
Okay. So now I want you to say your ABCs and count to 26 like this. It's A1, B2, C3, all the way to Z26.
Go. Oh, so they're doing that. Oh, gosh. A1, B2, C3, D4, E5. F6, G7, H8, okay. So
yeah. So like, yeah. I got that asked that at the Senior Bowl. So that was cool. And I had to restart once, but that's all right. I finished, but I was just so nervous. I was going to end on like Z27.
I was like, niner in there or something.
And then they asked, like, you know, like one question was like, who would you bring with you to the NFL? And I'm like, Josh Pascal, right? Like, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, why isn't it Darian Kennard? And I'm like, because Josh Pascal's that good. Like, but at the time, I'm like, oh, no. Like, what do I say? You know what I mean? So they're just, like, looking for, like, anything to – and, again, some guys are just like, oh, like, where do you come from? Like, you know?
Yeah.
Family. And other people are like, you know, what's wrong with so-and-so? So you just got to –
I will say the one piece of advice that I got early in my hot take career was to be confident and affirmative. And I actually think that this might apply in this situation, because they want somebody who's going to make decisions. I mean, in a split second. So if you get to Heman and Holland, I don't know if they even care about that stuff, how much they really do care or not. Cause I think most teams, they're either going to like you or they aren't. And you get down to, you know, a few that'll probably take you or not. Do you have an agent? Do you have somebody that tells you, we think you're going here? Do you look at mock drafts? Or is it just kind of right now you're just seeing where the chips fall?
Yeah, for me, it's probably just wait till after combine and pro day, and then I might look into that. You know, the thing about, like, the thing I've learned from, for example, like Drake and Logan, is they're like, yeah, like these people will tell you how much they love you, and like they'll talk to you all the time, and you'll think for sure you're going there, and then someone you've never talked to or like barely had a conversation with will be like, hey, you should come play here, you know. So it's kind of how it works. And right, like the guys you talk to at these events, you know, usually aren't making the decisions unless you're talking to the GMs, right? Like these scouts just get to go in there and you know, plead their case or say, this is the guy I think you should take. And then, right, it's up to everyone's decision.
It's good to have those cheat codes. The Stenberg and Dre Jackson, Luke Fortner's cheat codes. Luke, do you have anything else for Luke before we let him go?
Luke, just enjoy it, man. Once in a lifetime experience.
I got a question for you guys. Oh. Appreciate it.
Go ahead.
How's the food in Indy? Is it good? Do you get fed, or you guys have to buy your own food?
There's Diet Coke.
They stick us. Oh, let's walk him through this, Nick. Where they set us up yet? So we're they're gonna bring you through to the convention center, which is ginormous. I mean, it's huge, and you'll be in one room, and we'll walk over there, and you'll have to talk to us for what? They'll be there for 30 minutes, maybe
something like that. Yeah,
and they just roll positions all in the morning, and then we have a little spread. It wasn't too bad last time, but it's COVID now, so I don't know.
They'll probably give us like Subway. It's been sitting in a box for 3 days or something. Right. But the big disaster that happened last time, I thought Mike Griffith was going to riot. They ran out of Diet Coke, and hell hath no fury like a media member without Diet Coke. So when they run out, we're in trouble. There is, though, post-game – there's post-game beers, you know. There's also shrimp cocktail that you have to get when you're in Indy. I mean, it's as hot as they say. It's that horseradish heat, okay, too, that like real nasally.
What's that sports bar called, Nick, right across the street from the basketball arena?
Kilroy's. It's
fire bread sticks.
Kilroy's. Yeah. Kilroy's is like – they're like the Indiana version of like Tally Ho, except like – Tally Ho that served beer and didn't move away from Limestone to Broadway, you know, back when it was the good Tally Ho. You were probably around for that.
If someone calls me there from 11:30 at night, I should go.
Yes. So when we call you at midnight, we'll be expecting to see you there.
11 personnel guys call you at 11:30 in Indianapolis. What do you do?
Oh, man. Well, Luke, we appreciate you coming on instead of just going on that one KSR podcast. I wouldn't even call that a real podcast. They're just a bunch of slack-jawed yokels. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. So thanks for finally coming on a good podcast. I think you might be back for the second time on ours. I don't know. But best of luck to you in the draft. And once again, it's been fun. Been fun watching you with the Cats, and we can't wait to watch you next year on Sundays.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
Big thanks to Luke Fortner for hopping on with us and letting us be a little silly. And I mean us, I mean me. You know, just got to try to be jokey, make joke maker. But most importantly, good to get to know how the sausage is made a little bit, Lucky, because we don't get to see a lot of this stuff. And some of that was really enlightening, especially about the guys that are going to be on the Big Blue Wall next year.
Definitely. DeAndre Buford's obviously not a guy a lot of people have talked about, but he kind of fits what a left tackle should be and kind of look like. And so if he can really turn it on, that would help a ton. And obviously, going back to Kurt and a little bit of the draft process, I'm obviously fascinated with it. It's pretty crazy how it all happens. And like we mentioned there, we'll be at the combine again, providing coverage for all of that. Should hopefully get some good stuff there. So pretty excited about that. I think it's still TBD, but I think it's pretty close to official.
We've been before, so I'm hopeful they'll rubber stamp our credentialing process, but hope to be up there in Indy. If not, we'll just break in, be very sneaky about it. Shouldn't be a problem. this morning, Luckett, we got some news. SP Plus came out, the first preseason ranking. I don't know how Bill did it with the transfer portal going on, but – it's been a pretty good predictor, if you will, for how things play out. It's how I did pretty well in some of my gambling. Now things change, you know, it's like I said, the portal, calculating returning production, all that, but Kentucky was top 25. They were number 21. The only other time that happened was when Terry Wilson returned following that 2019 season, going into 2020. Well, then you have a pandemic and you're playing all SEC schedules. So things didn't go according to plan, but still to come in number 21, I think that shows you it's a good sign, but more importantly, we got a better idea of where Kentucky's competition stands next year. And a schedule, it ain't going to be easy. It ain't going to be easy, Luckett.
Nope. Life in the SEC is going to be tough, but you look at Kentucky, both units in the top 30. As long as Brad White's been here, you feel pretty confident about Kentucky putting the top 35-ish product on the field, no matter what happens. They can stay healthy and maybe hit on some guys, maybe late portal ad, they could really maybe vault in that top 25. And then you look at the offense. I mean, I really do think Nick has got a chance to be the best offense that we've seen at Kentucky in our lifetimes. I mean, I really do think that. I think they can really be kind of special this year. Need to find solutions at tackle, but potential guy that can maybe turn into a first-round draft pick at quarterback. You've got receiver and tight end. I mean, you're going to be able to find good players there. Proven play caller. I believe Bruce Feldman had kind of wrote something on Cohen about – or, like, did an embed with – anonymous people in the SEC, and it was when he talked about Kentucky, it was like they're running the best stuff in the league. Like they're kind of handcuffed by their, you know, skill talent personnel a little bit, but stuff they're doing is really good. Kentucky's not going to be as handcuffed this next year with the guys they're going to have at tight end and the guys they're going to have at receiver plus the best back in the league. It's going to be really good. So it's really excited. Now we just need to keep Sean McVay away.
Just stay away.
Go hire Greg Olsen. Kentucky could really have a special season, I think, offensively next year, which really gets you excited. And then you start thinking about potential, like, to find yourselves in a shootout against maybe an Ole Miss, against the Tennessee on the road. But you would feel confident about the ammo and the play calling chops if you got into one of those situations where in the past you would have been nervous. But now I think you could have a lot of confidence. Kentucky could win some tough road games like that because they can go – and drop 40 points on your head.
Yeah, and I ultimately think, too, especially after hearing Luke talk about continuity, if Liam does end up getting that job, which is a pretty cush job, I could see Stoops just being like, let's keep this train rolling. Let's bring Woodward up. Maybe move Josh Estes-Waugh from off the field to, you know, some sort of on-field position.
I just don't know. Like I said, Woodward's just had – he's just had 1 year big – experience. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe you dipped into that Rams system again. Robinson's there for him. It's already the table's kind of been set. So we'll see how that works out. But yeah, hopefully get through these next couple weeks, get to spring ball, and then we'll find out.
Yep. We did find out that Zach Yenser, it's not official. That'll probably happen. The beginning
all signs point to it, though.
Yeah. I mean, when you've got everybody and their brother reporting it, that just means HR's got to sign off. You know, public institution takes a little bit longer, so I'd expect something the following Monday, like the day after the Super Bowl, 2 days after the Super Bowl. Forgot we've got Super Bowl commercial coming up too. That's always exciting. Where are you at right now mentally? Is it anxiety? Is it excitement? Are you of the mindset like we've got house money? I got nothing to lose. Damn it! Like let's just play some ball.
I'm turning on the TV every day, just kind of like in shock a little bit that the Bengals are in the Super Bowl. it's just Bengals talk and Rams talk every TV station. Like I've watched Good Morning Football, I think, every day this week, a good chunk of it. I've seen Jeff Saturday 800 times. Jeff Saturday might be the hardest working man at ESPN. He is on every show. And so that it's still kind of a surreal feeling. I think we're going to get into Friday and it's going to be like go time kind of feeling.
Right.
I wouldn't, obviously there's a house money factor, but you know, it's hard to get to the Super Bowl. Just look at Aaron Rodgers. He's only been there once.
Oh, shots fired, Green Bay fans.
You got a chance here. You know, you just never know how things are going to work out, obviously. But yeah, we'll see how I'm fairly optimistic, I think. Got a feeling Matthew Stafford might throw it to the Bengals once or twice. And I'll take the matchup with Joe Burrow. Just got to keep him clean somewhat. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. This team's found ways to win close games here lately. And their offense really hadn't had an explosion yet, and I think that might be due a couple big plays. So, yeah, feeling good about Bengals here on Sunday.
It's also one of those games that even when you play out how you think the game should go, it doesn't go according to plan. It's the Super Bowl. Like, it weird stuff happens. And,
Everything's different. Right.
Just the speed of the game.
Lead up to the game.
Yeah.
Halftime's an hour long.
Mm-hmm.
So everything's different, but we'll see. Now, we want to have our coaching carousel pod, Nick.
Yeah.
We were planning on maybe having it next week, the week of Valentine's Day, but we might have an opening here late. So we're waiting on confirmation down on the plains. Brian Harsin, man. How about this, dude? He loses an offensive coordinator. He's an SEC head coach at a program that believes they're a blue blood program.
I mean, they've won national championships in our lifetime.
He fired his original one, loses another one, and he just says, I'll figure it out later. I'm going on vacation. So I'm going to Mexico. They don't have an offensive coordinator. Spring ball is in like 2 weeks or whatever.
Yeah. And it's
things are a mess there. Now, secondary coach Zach Etheridge is reports are that Kirby Smart just lost his secondary coach to Miami, and he's targeting Zach Etheridge, who's their best recruiter on staff, it appears. So they could lose him on top of everything. And then Derek Mason took a $400,000 pay cut to say deuces, went to Oklahoma State. Things are not looking pretty there for Harsin. I mean, there is very much this could turn into a Tennessee situation. No one knows who's running the search. Sounded like their AD. They're just playing out the string. With his contract, and a lot of you just Auburn being Auburn. But man, this is a dangerous game they're playing right now.
It's kind of fun from our vantage point too, because since we have joined on three, we're paying closer attention to some of our partners over there. And Justin Hokanson over at Auburn Live, the thing I like about the folks at Auburn Live is they're a lot like us in that they're pretty plugged in. They've got good scoop. Good reporting over there. If you are subscribed to On3 Plus, like it's just $1 for a year or $10 for a year or something, and you get access
to all these message boards. All of them, and there's more teams coming.
Yeah, a lot more. So like some really good sites.
Access to all these premium boards, recruiting info, all that stuff. So if you're into that at all, I would highly recommend considering doing it.
And what's fun though is watching their take, because it's kind of like, I mean, it's about like Louisville, just the like shocking news after shocking news, just when you can't, like, are you serious? So I don't know. Our boy Kublik kind of alluded to Harsin maybe being able to hang around, but I like the way he described it, just how Auburn operates. He's like, it's like the Auburn football program is just a bunch of islands without any bridges connecting one to the other, from the boosters to the coach to the players. Like, it's a mess down there.
Yeah, you talk about alignment. Auburn's never had alignment. The booster faction is still very, very strong, very tied into it. They still have a lot of weight, more so than a lot of these other places where they've kind of built a wall kind of in between. Now, here's what Alan Green fires Malzahn, and he did the right thing, I think, he was like, I'm making this hire, not the boosters. I'm going to hire the best coach. Going to look for a guy with offensive track record, consistent winner, bring him in here. But they it seems like they told Harsin, you have to hire guys with SEC experience, which is smart, but telling him what coordinators to bring, it's not necessarily a winning strategy. Mike Bobo and Derek Mason didn't work out, puts you farther in the hole. And then recruiting-wise, everything, it's like the Wild West right now, Nick, with name, image, likeness, sliced bread, all this stuff. You know, you've got to really have your ducks in a row and really be organized. And they're not. They're kind of learning on the fly how to recruit. Meanwhile, Georgia's a freaking Death Star recruiting-wise. Alabama, Death Star recruiting-wise. And that's really their biggest recruiting competition.
Yeah.
You talk about Georgia. You look at Auburn and what is their pipelines? It's South Georgia. It's Metro Atlanta. And then it's their home state. And they're just not competing with the big dogs there. And that relegates them to a place they don't want to be. That's why I throw out the Tennessee kind of thing, because if they mess this up again, I mean, they're digging holes. They're just keep digging holes deeper and deeper. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. And like I've said, it's been a good year to have Auburn on the schedule.
Yeah.
You know, you would like to trade Auburn for Ole Miss this year.
Yeah.
Even though Ole Miss, I think you might be catching them at a good spot. But if they hit with Jackson Dart at quarterback, their offense is going to be really good again. So interesting times there in Auburn. And they're just, like you said, it's like Louisville, it's never boring.
No,
they are never boring down there.
And now they're a basketball school. It's kind of like Louisville when they were a football school.
Yeah, right.
It's so funny. But this has been all in all, pretty solid show. Like, if I do say so myself, you can go ahead and pat yourself on the back. All right. All right, good job. Well done. Thank you all so much for listening today. It's been a joy. Appreciate Luke coming on. Excited to have draft prep kind of crank up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, the Senior Bowl was just kind of like a little
appetizer.
Yeah. You know, maybe some calamari. I'm not a big calamari guy. I'm more of a fried pickles guy. That's just because, you know, we're blue collar. Like it, you know.
fried pickles get the job done.
They're outstanding. So we got our fried pickles. We're going to get our buffalo wings and maybe some barbecue ribs at the combine. And then things are really cranking up throughout April. So we'll have that. We'll have spring football and much more on 11 personnel. We'll be back next week. And until then, enjoy your Super Bowl. Good luck to your Cincinnati Bengals, Adam Lucky. Go Cats and go Kroger.